Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Highest field goal percentage of his career, 19 of 22 on the season, and this kick hits the right upright, and it's no good. And the Patriots come up empty.
Yeah, that was a play that most fans weren't too thrilled about, and it wasn't just because it was a missed 45-yard field goal from their guy, Joey Sly, who was crushing him from 65 in the pregame. No, that was because of the way things were handled on the way up to it. Patriots had a 3rd-and-6 early on. Of course, there was one of the 973, and that's putting it lightly, penalties called on the team today. Actually, 13 called penalties on the Patriots, 10 accepted for 75, the majority of them on the offense and the offensive line.
Felt like
they decided to run up the gut on 3rd-and-16, and then that turns into nothing really, which leads to Joey Sly attempting a 45-yarder. Hey, he'll do that. That's what Joey Sly does. Hey, sometimes things happen and people miss. That's the one that set off the Twitter firestorm from the Bill Simmonses and other people saying that's coaching scared, that's playing to lose, that's wuss ball. I'm not here to disagree with that assessment. I hated that at the time. In hindsight, I hate it just as much. That's not, again, isn't this year, some, like, oh, we're, like, I think it was last week. Maybe it was Monday on Greg Hill, or maybe it was the post game last week. I don't know. So many interviews, so many walkbacks, so many lousy sound bites, where Mayo said, you know, we're coaching to win a football game. Okay, but this year is all about the development of Drake May and figuring out who else you got. Shouldn't they be just, I'm not saying more haphazard, Andy, but shouldn't they just be more generally aggressive?
Yes. I think there are opportunities to be more aggressive, to set a tone. Some of the examples people have used is the early, and this is a comparison that Mayo himself made, so I think it's an apt comparison. Remember when he compared himself to the Lions and Dan Campbell and coaches going through their early lumps to come out the other side? Well, Dan Campbell set a tone with that organization in terms of his style, aggressiveness, going for it, acting like an ex-player, whether that's good or bad, you decide, but damn it, I'm doing it, going for it on fourth down.
Never any doubt as to how his team would play the game and what
Correct.
Kind of coach he was going to be.
And now, they might be the best team in football. They're one of the best handful of teams in football. They're a Super Bowl contender. Meanwhile, I don't really know what Gerard Mayo stands for in terms of going for it, not going for it, being aggressive, going for two. He's been kind of wishy-washying his way through the season. I think this personally... My guy Stiz, producer of the afternoon show, WEEI,
totally unfamiliar with his work.
He's done a segment, F Around and Find Out, where he's been coming up with some stuff all across the internet where people are finding out from effing around.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we reached the F Around and Find Out portion of this season? Like,
oh, no, we've effed around and they're now finding out. Like, we're in the find out portion, yes.
Yeah, I find out this team stinks. I find out the coach is playing scared. He doesn't try to win the game. He tries to not lose it. And I
That's
thought that was an
lose.
Example. You know how the kids say, like, ball don't lie? Ball don't lie. I thought that was a ball don't lie moment.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Yeah, because you
well,
played
coach,
like
if
a
you told us,
and you,
Yeah, Coach,
you
told us that you were going to be a game plan offense and that you were going to be aggressive all year. When are we actually going to start to see that?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
You don't want to get into anything. I feel like my wife and I fight. I don't want to get into it right now. Can I just get my beer and watch TV?
Coach, do you like being compared to Andy Hart and his wife?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it.
Actually, I don't think it was a very good question. You know?
It actually wasn't. It was terrible. But we got to use our favorite sound bite, so it all worked in the end.
Sometimes no, we do the show for us people. We're the ones that have to try to figure
have
out
to.
What to say for 3.5 hours. That's the thing. The show is
after
more
they're not entertaining for 3 hours, we have to be entertaining for 3 hours. And so therefore, if we just talk about their crappy game, it's not going to work. We got to bring a little something, something. Uh-huh. We got to F around and find out. We're building something special around here. Six rings for life.
Coach, would you prefer if Andy tried to be a little... A little
That's
less.
A good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
He didn't even finish the question.
He didn't want to hear that question.
No, he didn't want to hear that question.
Mike Reese kind of went at him, by the way. Did you notice that?
Oh, really?
Joe, can you... I know I'm dropping this on you quick, but if you can cue that up. It was asking about the penalties, but he wanted to make sure he asked about the penalties in a very specific way, and it was pointing a finger at the coaching staff. I thought that was, and it's done in Mike Reese delivery, so it's not like aggressive. You're like, wait a minute, did he just call out Gerard to Gerard's face there? And then you're like, yeah, he called out Gerard to Gerard's face there.
I even saw on his timeline Mike Reese was like, when Mike Reese has turned into here, I'll jump back on his timeline a little earlier today. When Mike Reese is the one who's tweeting out about penalties,
the six pre-snap penalties in the first half, five on offense, one on defense. I mean, how much of that is a reflection just on the coaching?
Yeah, look, it starts with me. It starts with me, and we've had these hiccups of games where the penalties really affected us, and it did today.
A reflection on the coaching. Who's the coach? That's a great question. I don't want to get into it.
Here's a great tweet from Mike Reese. I'm just going to put it out there. It's obviously just a football thing. 2:05 p.m. today, Mike Reese. Longhorn package alert.
Excuse me?
I've said that before. It's resulted in being handed a blanket and a pillow and told to go to the sofa.
The old Longhorn package alert. Longhorn's a big animal. Probably they should warn people that the package is coming.
Longhorn package
alert. Ever seen a Longhorn?
Sure.
Down in Texas?
Yeah, that's usually where they are. That would be the name of the University of Texas football team. They are
impressive.
They are indeed.
Really their horns that are impressive, not really.
Save that drop. Thank you very much. 2:24 p.m. today, Mike Reese tweets out, penalty count, including those declined. Low, false start, Jacobs, false start, low, false start, Jacobs, holding, Hooper, neutral zone, Jennings, neutral zone, low, holding, Marcus Jones, holding, low, false start. What a mess. That's what our beat writers have now turned to start doing. The beat just writers are now just keeping tabs on penalties.
Well, that's part of the job, and this is
Doug Kye. Patriots need to prioritize getting a cornerback, and that's what we're doing. We're looking to the offseason and chiding.
See
them
that,
for
that I don't really understand. Like, prioritize a cornerback right now. Like, I think Mike Reese has got the old proverbial bull by the horns with that tweet.
Old Longhorn package.
Like, they can't run a play because they can't line up without penalizing themselves. That's the biggest issue of this team, and that is a reflection on the coaches. I don't know whether it's a lack of discipline in practice. I don't know if you listened. Gerard Mayo admitted they didn't have a good practice on Wednesday. He said on either Thursday or Friday they flat out didn't have a very good practice on Wednesday. He thought they bounced back later in the week, which, I don't know, based on the game performance, I'm not so sure they bounced back very well later in the week. But this is unacceptable. And I know I joke, but there has to be consequences. Vidarian Lowe and DeMontre Jacobs can't continue to just false start and line up incorrectly. Like, how do you just keep putting guys out there? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Like, you just keep putting the guy out there and expecting something different to happen? You're going to lose. You're going to suck.
They have no other options.
An option. You found these guys. You found these Jags that aren't very good. Find another Jag who's not very good. Try it. There has to be some sort of discipline. There has to be some sort of result for unacceptable play on the field. And I believe false starts and lining up improperly are unacceptable at the NFL level in week, whatever the hell we're in, 12 or 13 of the season.
Week 12 of the National Football League.
You're supposed to be in midseason form. In the old days, and they stink. So find somebody else. Find somebody else. Like, you have to be able to find somebody else. I don't understand how you can, I give them credit. They did swap out City So, but I think you need to do somebody else. I don't even know who's available on the roster. Just put somebody else in there.
On the offensive, whatever. All right, here's a question. Whatever happened to Tyrone Wheatley Jr.?
He's gone, I believe. They all
Or is he on IR for the season?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it.
I thought it was, Coach. Thank you.
It wasn't.
I thought it was a pretty good question. Hey, let's go back to the phones real quick. Teddy's in Newton. Newton. Hello, Teddy. Welcome to the postgame show.
Hi, Fitzy. You know how much I like you. Hart, you're great, too. You guys, I love your show.
Appreciate it.
You're telling the guy in Australia not to watch the game. Now, I take that as you're telling me not to watch the game here in Newton. And my question to you is, what am I supposed to do? They're my team. I have to watch the game. I'm not going to watch the Cowboys or the Packers or Oklahoma or Tennessee. I'm not going to go for a walk in the park. I'm going to watch the game. Why would you tell them not to watch the game? This is why we're watching the game, because we're watching the rebuild. If there is a rebuild, we're watching Drake May. It's 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? I just find it funny. I've called before on this topic when people say, well, then just don't watch the game. And I'm not talking about not supporting a team like the Bruins or the Sox and stuff like that. But if you in the spring, we're all like, oh, football is 5 months away. I can't wait. I can't wait. There's five games left. We've got to watch the five games. Hope they do well. I'm not blue sky, but I'm just saying Drake May seems to be decent, if not very, very good. There's a future there with him. A couple other players on the team are decent. You got to watch these games. You know what I'm saying? We only have so much time in our days. You got to. Who are you going to put it to? You know what I'm saying? I'm putting it to the Patriots.
Hey, listen, Teddy, I appreciate the call, buddy. And listen, about as far as like who I said that to, I said that to one of our listeners, our loyal listener who calls in each and every week on the Six Rings postgame show, our pal Jake in Australia, who has to wake up at some ungodly hour in the middle of the night, early in the morning, to watch the games, and this is how he starts his day. So just for a mojo switch, I thought perhaps maybe next week, you know, sometimes you do those things during playoff games, like, all right, now you wear the funny hat, and I'll drink this beer, and you watch from that room, and I'll be over here, or you go outside. You know, Jake can switch it up. And as far as staying committed and loyal to your team, I get it. I've been doing it for five decades, my man. I think none of us here would pass up the opportunity to watch these games, even when they're a dumpster fire like they were today, even when they were the kind of trash that raccoons would and bears would turn their nose up at, even when they're a legitimate slog and difficult to watch, and you sit there and say to yourself, like, I could have gotten so much other stuff done today. Why did I do this? Because we're fans, that's why. Andy was mentioning the definition of insanity earlier, repeating an act and expecting different results. We keep doing it. So, yeah, there is a little bit of stereotypical or cliched insanity to what we're going about. I get it. We're fans. Fan is short for fanatical. Our behavior is not to be understood by those that are faint of heart or rational of mind. This is what we do. I totally understand that. I'm giving Jake down under a reprieve next week, or at least the opportunity to maybe get those 3 hours back or sleep in. And then we'll recount the game for him. But otherwise, I feel you, Teddy. Thanks for calling and go Pats.
And thanks for chastising Fitzy. He needs it every once in a while. He's a pink hatter of the oldest form. He's lost his focus. He's really just entitled and spoiled. So while I was listening to Fitzy get chastised, I found our two options to replace the bums we saw today from the practice squad.
Okay.
Your option one is 6'5", 315-pound offensive tackle Jalen McKenzie.
Yeah, the Jalen McKenzie era is here.
Or 6'9", 370-pound tackle. That's 370. That's a large
man. He makes Trent Brown look like Nate Archibald.
Caleb Jones. You have two tackles on the practice squad. I'd give them a shot. See if they can actually line up. See if they can actually, like, you're not getting to the point. You think Lowe is better. I get that. But if he costs you 5 yards a time or 10 yards for a hold, and he does it frequently, don't we need to give somebody else a shot? Like, he's not getting it. He's false starting. He's not lining up properly. He's had the formation penalties all year long. Was that last week or the week before where Mayo's like, yeah, the ref warned him twice before he called it on him? Like, he's a repeat offender. Correct. So give these guys a chance. What's the worst that happens? Drake May gets killed and the season ends.
Yeah, I was going to say Drake May gets absolutely like accordioned back there.
Yeah, but he's getting hit already. He's fumbling. It's happening already. Just, I don't know. There's a certain level of frustration. That'd be like if you and I were doing this show and it starts right after the game.
Yep.
And every week I show up 15 minutes later. Wouldn't that piss you off? Don't you think Ken would say, like, we can't be doing that? There would be repercussions. There would be an issue.
Yeah, like every week, like 15 minutes, then 20 minutes, then 25 minutes. Like,
right.
Come on, guy. You know, it starts right after the game. You can't just keep
either
pushing.
Shape up or ship out kind of thing. And I feel like we've reached that point with Vedarian Lowe and DeMontre Jacobs. Like, shape up or ship out. I have other guys on the practice squad for a reason.
We are up to the record set for starting offensive linemen in a season is 14. The Patriots have 13 or 14 different linemen on the team thus far. Actually, maybe more. I think they've started 11, maybe 12. at this point, I am all for them setting the record. Just that you have to keep taking a flyer. Like,
And how about we not be excited? Have you noticed the last couple of weeks? Oh, it's so great. We have continuity. Great. We have the same line 3 weeks
Andy,
in a row.
They go out for supper on Monday nights together.
Well, they can all go to supper again. It's just there'll be different guys sitting at the head table with Drake May. I want to see the big one. Big old Caleb Jones, 6'9", 370. Block out the sun, you can block out a pass rusher.
Bet he can put a few away at the new ground round coming back to Massachusetts,
huh? Yeah, keep them coming.
617-77, yeah. Sir, we've actually had to cancel our unlimited free popcorn policy.
Could you please leave?
617-779-7937 is the number. More Six Rings postgame show coming up. But first, let's catch you up on all of the Week 12 NFL action, scores, and more with the great, mighty, and powerful Joe Braverman.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
I'll tell you who else was feasting. That was the Dolphins down in South Beach at home as the Patriots get steamrolled by Miami. 34-15, your final score. Penalties were the theme of the day. 10 of them were accepted. 7 of them are on the offensive line, mainly Vidarian Lowe and Demontre Jacobs. Miami pulled away with a 24-point second quarter. Tua Tagovailoa threw 4 touchdowns and over 300 yards. Drake May struggled. He had 2 turnovers on an interception and a fumble. He also threw a touchdown to Austin Hooper for 38 yards. Finished the day with 222 yards passing. The Pats fall to 3-9. They'll make their way back home and welcome the Indianapolis Colts to Gillette for next week's Week 13 matchup. Some other scores going around the NFL for Week 12. The Cowboys knocked off the Commanders in an absolutely wild finish, 34-26. Chiefs were able to survive the Panthers on a game-winning field goal, 30-27. The Vikings did the same thing in overtime over the Bears, 30-27. The Titans pulled the upset in a shootout over the Texans, 32-27. And some scores from the games that are going on right now. The Packers are on top of the 49ers, 17-7. And the Broncos lead the Raiders at the end of three quarters, 16-13. The Sunday slate of games wraps up with the Eagles taking on the LA Rams. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with coverage beginning at 7:30 following Six Rings. The Celtics took down the Timberwolves earlier tonight, 107-105, your final score. Jaylen Brown led the way with 29 points on 10 of 18 shooting. That included 7 three-pointers. Jason Tatum was right behind him, 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. The team made 21 out of 56 three-pointers on the other side for Minnesota. Anthony Edwards led the way with 28. Julius Randle had 23. The Celtics will be back in action tomorrow night when they welcome the LA Clippers to town. And the Bruins survived in Detroit with a 2-1 victory over the Red Wings last night. That's Joe Sacco's second win as head coach. Meanwhile, the man he replaced, Jim Montgomery, is now the new head coach of the Blues less than a week after being fired by Boston following St. Louis's firing of Drew Bannister this morning. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
So Tua, 25 of 35, 290 yards and 4 touchdowns. Well, the football is loose. It's picked up. Gonzalez on the scoop, and now it's a foot race. Gonzalez in for the touchdown.
That right there, ladies and gentlemen, was Christian Gonzalez's first NFL touchdown. And it came in a nail biter. Pats were down 31-7. They took Tua Tagovailoa out of the game, replaced him with Skylar Thompson. First play from scrimmage, botched handoff to rookie running back Jalen Wright. Gonzo scoops it up, beats the Finns to the foot race, and next thing you know, kablam, 63-yard touchdown right there.
And promptly, Mike McDaniel said, okay, starters, get back in there.
And everyone can go back in the game now, yeah. I will say this, though, Hart. Gonzo has some jets. Like, haven't seen him really running, though, at top speed in a long time. You know what I mean? Like, we always see him backpedaling and in coverage and whatnot. Like, legitimately has some jets on him there as well. It's nice to see. Although, in true Christian Gonzalez fashion, didn't seem too overly emotional about it. Just kind of ran it into the end zone, flipped the ball back like, we're losing.
Well, I mean, they were getting stomped.
Sandblasted at that point. Yes. I know. It was a 2-score game after that. By the way, nice 2-point conversion play with the little mini hook and ladder from Drake to Booty to Ramondre.
Which, speaking of, can we also mention the quote-unquote trick play with Kendrick Bourne trying to throw it?
I was just going to go there, Braverman. Good call. Andy, I would like to say this. One, where was the sort of creativity that went into that neat little quick little hook and ladder type play for the 2-point conversion? And honestly, what the hell was going on with that third and 17 lateral back Edelman Amendola botch cross court pass thing that went to Kendrick Bourne? He took all the blame himself on that one. I would say the entire operation kind of fell apart.
Oh, yeah. That felt like something that they hadn't repped often enough in practice. The spacing timing was not there. The Ramondre was kind of caught up in the linemen. Mm-hmm. One of the linemen was kind of in the way of the throw. Like, the whole thing just didn't feel
correct.
Quite right. I find it hard to believe they ran that like five times on the practice field and nailed it every time, and then it looked as bad as it did on the field. It felt like either they didn't rep it enough, or mm-hmm. some of the reps weren't all that good. But they continue to have those. The 2-point play was a nice play. Mm-hmm. And for a half a second, I thought something really dumb. I thought, it's kind of a shame you wasted that and put that on tape. That could be valuable. And then I was like, dot, dot, dot in my head. When would it be valuable? You're not going to be in a position where you'll need like a big 2-point conversion.
What are you saving it for?
It was so dumb. I'm sorry. I'm giving you the honest. I really thought like, that's a shame you wasted that in a meaningless game getting blown out. And then I'm like, they're all meaningless. It's not like you're going to be playing a real 2-point conversion game for quite some time. So that was nice. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
Yeah, that was a nice little play, but like they were so far and few between today. But I know you
might have
Mr.
been
positive.
The only play they ran well all day, or one of the few. I mean, because the touchdown to Hooper was a busted play. You mm-hmm. scored on Gonzo on a scoop and score. There weren't a whole hell
missed
of a
field
lot
goal.
Of. You missed a field goal. You had some of the pass plays, like I referenced earlier. You had DeMario Douglas falling down behind him, no catch. You had Booty falling down after pushing off, sails over his head. They weren't exactly a finely tuned unit today.
No, not so much. No.
You down with
so
AVP?
You hardly know me. Look at that. We're back to the phones we go. Mac.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into
Thank
it.
Thank you very much, Coach. Appreciate that. Thanks.
Now he's just interjecting on his own.
Marcus,
you down with AVP?
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There's going to be some tough conversations had later in the year, like down the hierarchy ladder, like from the Crafts to Mayo, from Mayo to others, maybe mix in an Elliot Wolf somewhere. Like that first, what do they finish? The first weekend in January, the weekend after
January
that.
5th.
Yeah. So like the 6th, 7th, and 8th, it's going to be Black Monday around the league. I don't know if it'll be necessarily Black Monday in Foxborough.
Up to 7 or 8 coaches fired. Schefter is intimating.
Absolutely. I believe he said up to 9. Now, and that's after, weren't there 8 last year? So he's going to say more than half the league has turned over in the last basically calendar year of head coaches.
Tom Brady says we have a problem rushing the rookie quarterbacks in. How about a problem not properly developing coaches?
How about not properly developing play-by-play and color commentators?
Shots fired.
Don't you look in the mirror, Brady? Point with a thumb, not a finger.
From Green Bay, where he's getting paid $2 million today to call the Packers 49ers game and his $17 million bachelor pad on Indian Island outside of Miami, I'm sure he probably doesn't really worry about it too very much.
Screw you, Brady.
All right, back to the phones. Mark's in Connecticut. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Love you, boys. Talk to you. I guess you guys already talked about it, though. I've been calling for this kid to get a shot for the last, like, 6 games. Caleb Jones. Kid is just a freak of nature, just the size of the kid alone. I mean, you know, this season is all about giving guys shots and seeing what you have. Why aren't they giving this kid a shot and seeing what they got? 2 weeks ago, he was practice squad player of the week, and he still has yet to get elevated to the active roster. What are they waiting for?
Well, my guess would be the simple answer is he's not that good. Just big body that can't really play. So I have the feeling all of us that are calling for it, and you're right, I called for it because I kind of want to punish Vadarian Lowe as much as anything, hopefully not at the cost of punishing Drake May. But my guess is you might put him out there, Caleb Jones. Is that his name? Caleb?
Caleb Jones.
You put him out there, and I have the feeling like 10 minutes into the game I'll be like, oh, now I see why you didn't want to play Caleb Jones.
That's why Caleb Jones had yet to enter a professional football game at tackle for the New England Patriots.
Despite being a mountain of a human being.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mark. Thanks for weighing in, buddy. All right, Andy, let's get those super Andy Hart positives in. You said you were able to divine a handful, a trio, triumvirate of positives from the game. I dare you. Impress us now.
So the first one is Antonio Gibson. I thought he was one of the few sparks on the offense for the New England Patriots early on that drive that got them down there before they doinked the field goal. So he ran the ball six times for 30 yards, had a catch for 14 yards. I thought Antonio Gibson was one of the few bright spots on the offense.
If we had that each and every week, I feel like the offense, like maybe we need to get him more involved. Maybe he's got to be.
I feel like he's a professional contributor potentially in the passing game, because we've talked a little bit about it. You know, you haven't really gotten the boost from the young guys. It's kind of been Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper and Kendrick Bourne. Maybe Gibson needs to be more involved in that crew and just say, hell, we're going to go with the old guys because the young guys aren't ready. They kind of stink. Number two on the up list.
Two.
The draft pick moved up from number seven to number four. And
hey, can everyone hear us down here? Hello, hello, hello.
And number three on the thumbs up list, the weather. It was a beautiful day in Miami.
Oh, my God.
Do you have any you want to put on the thumbs up
no,
list?
No, I don't. You know what, actually? Bryce Behringer, 51.8 yards a punt.
Okay, I guess, but that's become cliche.
Joey Sly, Bryce Behringer, and one other person. Those are the
Well, he outkicked our former punter today, so there was that. Your old pal Jake Bailey, your boy.
I like him. He was a nice fellow, Stanford.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Handsome dude, by the way. Met him at a Joe Andruzzi Foundation golf event.
Not handsome enough from the stories I've heard.
What?
There's a story about him that I don't know if it's out there, so I'm not going to share it on the radio waves.
Andy Hart. Oh, breaking news.
Nope, we're just going to move right along to the thumbs down list. And you got anybody else? You got anybody else? Anybody? Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, anybody?
No.
Nothing?
Not Kyle Duggar, not Marcus Jones. Christian Barr.
We're going to talk about Kyle Duggar in a minute.
Christian Barmore looks like he's getting a little better.
Yes, a little bit better. But you said it. He got the sack, was a weird like coverage sack where White kind of forced him to move a little bit. He stepped up and he kind of ran into Christian Barmore.
Yeah. Also, by the way, have we yelled Keon's White name much except for
White's name?
Keon Whitesnake. Have we said his name much aside from, hey, where's Keon White been recently?
Nope. I'm starting to.
Sophomore slump.
I don't even know that. I think he's kind of like a wind-up toy. He just like hits people, runs around. I'm not sure there's always a method to the madness in his game sometimes. Let's get to the thumbs down list.
Yeah. Okay, how much time do we have?
It's going to be a while. Verdarian Lowe and DeMontre Jacobs for me. The tackles were terrible. They couldn't line up. They couldn't block. They couldn't protect. Nope. They couldn't do anything correctly. We had another few more examples with those guys and others of, hey, just run some sort of game where you cross your pass rushers. It's almost a surefire lock that one of them will get to Drake May, because apparently these guys have never seen games and stunts up front. They can't pass them off to each other. They stink. Next will be another combo duo. AVP and Mayo, the two of yous, as they say. My friend Paul Perillo likes to say, the two of yous. I don't know what to do with yous, because you're not aggressive. The offensive play calling I didn't like. Third and 16, and we're going to just have like a delayed handoff little run thing. It's loser football. It's not setting any kind of tone. There is no energy to it. Gerard Mayo, you're complicit in that. And the trick play we mentioned,
losers
didn't.
Wow,
a little bit. They were losers today. I'm not saying that.
Well before the final whistle.
Oh yeah, no question. Drake May has to be on the list. Drake May didn't have a great day. Mostly.
Andy, side note
fumble.
To that, I did check in on the last commercial break. I apologize for stepping on your toes there, but I thought I should interject. I did check in with our pal Chris Scheim on the last commercial break. Was supposed to call in with the Drake May report card, was caught in traffic, unable to, did share his grade on the day for Drake. Guess what?
C minus.
D plus.
See, I was close. And that's a good grade for him. I give him credit for calling the grade in. I thought he was ducking us because he could, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And he didn't want to.
Fine,
come
I'm
on
not
going to
say anything nice. I'm just going to go home and cry into my low calorie seltzer.
He missed throws. He, the fumble. As he said, something about, you know, like trying to swim move over a pass rusher, not a good idea. put the ball away. Sometimes you just got to take the loss. I know you're a playmaker. We've seen it plenty of times. He ran the ball a couple times well today, did those things. Obviously had the broken play, throwback to Hooper. Nice play. But on totality, it was not a good day for him or anyone on the offense. And for me, the fumble was the worst play he's had yet. The fumble was worse than the interception he threw. Was that last week? When he, oh, I should have thrown it away to the tuba player kind of throw. Instead.
That was 2 weeks ago in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Kyle Duggar, to me, was symbolic of the tackling issues, and he also couldn't cover Jonnu Smith. He was just chasing Jonnu Smith all over the field, in the end zone, not in the end zone, across the field. That hurt a little bit, watching Jonnu Smith be a key part of the offense that was dismantling this Patriots defense that continues to underwhelm, underachieve. I don't know what you want to call it.
But what about head coaching candidate DeMarcus Covington?
Are you leaving your flag football team? Is that the team he's going to go be the head coach of?
Hell no, man. I got to come back and defend the title next year.
I've done that. You better live up to it. It's a lot of pressure for you.
Actually, no. I'm feeling good. Moving up grades.
But yeah, Kyle Duggar, I didn't think tackled very well or covered very well, and that was symbolic. In general, the pass rush goes on here for me because I never thought they made Tua uncomfortable, really. And that's a problem.
Well,
and
they did once. They made him so uncomfortable because his backup quarterback botched a handoff, and he had to actually put his helmet back on and come in the game.
Yeah, he had already, like, grabbed the whiteboard. He had taken his helmet off. I think he might have even had the earpiece in. Like, he was in full I'm-not-playing-anymore mode, and then they screwed the pooch, and he had to go back in and play. The penalties, in general, Austin Hooper, great that you scored a touchdown. Now, just when you line up, look to the right and see if you are past the ball. If you're past the ball, you should probably back up a little bit.
Probably.
That's just a general rule. I mean, you don't have to do everything I tell you to do. That's just a general one that I feel like will benefit you in the long run. Any guys you'd like to add to the thumbs down list? There's certainly a lot of
Marcus Jones did not have a great day today.
Nope, he did not. He certainly celebrated one of those two. Was it Waddle? There was a beautiful throw over the... Oh, no, it was OBJ. Caught it, and then he fell, and he hit the ground. It popped out when he hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And Marcus Jones is doing, like, the celebration, like, yeah, I broke that up. No, you didn't. The ground did. God did. Mother Nature did.
And I hate to say it, even though he was killing it in the warm-ups, Joey Sly, like, listen.
Doink.
You can't. Points are precious for this team. They come far few in between. Especially
they
would have
won this game if he had hit that kick.
Oh, totally.
Can I add two more people to the list?
Sure.
The announcer.
Joe Braverman, go ahead.
The announcers for mispronouncing another name.
By Mapu. Mapu.
Mapu.
It's not Mapu. Mapu.
Mapu.
No, that's what a little Brit. That's what an adorable Mapu. British child says after they finish going
potty. I went in the potty. I did a Mapu.
Ma.
Mapu.
What part of England do they say, I did a Mapu?
I don't know. There's a lot of...
And also that pronunciation sounded Italian.
Yeah, I was going to say, how continental.
Spin on it. Yeah, it's, whatever. God. We move around Europe quickly.
I was going to say, that's just a general European... Yeah. Where are you from? Europe?
Yep. Hmm? Yeah, that's borderless. Great. I just kind of bounce around.
Yes, of course. Yes, that's very Mayo. That's very silo-free of you.
Mapu.
Mapu. Hey, Mapu.
What did you think of the broadcast on the whole today?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of used to these generic lower tier broadcasts. I don't know. Was there anything like glaringly bad?
No, just, like Aditi, she did fine, but like.
Yeah, I think they're all fine.
But they all sort of, I hate to say it, you get to a certain level of announcer and then they all start to sound the same.
Correct.
Like it could have been AI for all I knew calling the game today.
Right. But I would also argue if you gave those guys, even that crew, that same crew, and you put them on Bills Chiefs, they would seem better because the game would be more entertaining. You'd be more into it. I think they'd have more clay to work with.
Yeah, they actually put in the effort to understand the pronunciations.
Listen, why don't you back Mapu up a little bit there, okay? Also, is it me or did it seem like the field mics? Because I know like a lot of times when you have like the Z team in there or whatever, you don't have as many cameras, don't have as many hyperbolic mics on the field. Like replay truck isn't as fancy. It's actually just a U-Haul with a couple of TVs and a satellite on top.
It's actually just a cell phone, and I move the little bar back and forth.
Just some guy working
from
a Motorola. Did it sound like they had, like, was it either dead inside the stadium today, or did it sound like they didn't have, like, the field mics turned on?
Oh, no, it was kind of dead. And there were a lot of empty seats, and there were a lot of empty seats later. Like, some people sent me some photos. There was not a great crowd down there, and that was even with a little Patriots bump. Now, I don't think there was the usual Patriots party kind of crowd. But yeah, no, that was not a full Hard Rock Stadium at all.
So that was real. So they may also not have had the mics jacked up, and there wasn't a good crowd.
No, there was not a good crowd.
Oh,
although
sorry,
there was one lady doing the Trump dance in the audience that made me laugh.
Oh, they'll have to edit. They'll have to take her out in post. Matt is in Rhode Island. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I'm from Pompano Beach, Florida, and I usually go down to that game, but that stadium and all around it just smells. It's a terrible stadium for NFL football. But I was wondering if you heard what Kurt Warner has been saying, which I think is pretty much spot on, and I was at tremendous amount of respect for Kurt Warner and his quarterback abilities, but just the spacing of the whole offense, and you know, it's not as bad as Patricia and Judge and guys like running into each other, but there's just, I mean, I have no doubt that Drake is going to correct, like, you know, these fumbles and stuff, but I don't hold him accountable, like, whatsoever. I mean, the players that they have on the field, it's really, like, lowest level in the NFL from, you know, pretty much, you can't carry the whole team. He just doesn't have that experience right now. And I need him to come through because I'm already highly leveraged on Alabama Mac shirts, which I have in stock, Zappy Hour, and I didn't get Drake's permission, but his name, image, and likeness for Let Drake Bake shirts. So I need him to come through. Thanks, guys.
The Let Drake Bake.
Yeah.
Let Drake Bake. I'll have to see if we can get on that one as well.
You stealing ideas left and right?
Nope. I'm out of the business. I'm done.
Stealing Mac.
I hung up my online merchandise business a while ago.
Did you?
All right, 617-779-7937. We will take a quick look around the rest of week 12 when we come back. A too soon preview next week of week 13, Colts at Patriots next Sunday, 1 o'clock from the Razor. And anything else we didn't get to before we close up shop, give you a quick replay of the coach and the quarterback with their post-game pressers. And then, of course, at 7:30, throw it on over to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football. By all accounts, Andy, it sounds like it's going to be like Monday Night Football. Tomorrow night should be an awesome game. Another Harbaugh with the Ravens at the Chargers. Tonight, who do we have once again?
Eagles-Rams.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be a good game.
It could be. Should be. I mean, anytime you get to watch Saquon Barkley in this year, he's having a pretty special year and obviously had a pretty special play that, did you see they added to Madden? You can do the...
Yeah, and did you see the thing? Some high school kid tried to do it. Someone caught him in the air and powerbombed him.
Well, you're an idiot if you try to do it. Like, I don't know what you're thinking.
Also, did you hear? Puka Nacua said he was, like, only 2 weeks ago he found out the Rams play in the NFC West.
What? He didn't know what division he played in? Where did he think they played?
Los Angeles.
I mean, well, they do, but
yeah, I don't know.
Jesus,
that's just funny. You know what though? If you're that talented, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, all that and more coming. All that and more coming up when Six Innings Post Game Show returns.
Unleashing the quarterback. Half a minute, no timeouts. Daniels throws down the sideline for Terry McLaurin. McLaurin is loose. Lightning strikes twice in Washington. Low snap. It is no good. And the worst special teams day in history has a fitting finish.
To the left. He goes straight ahead this time, and it's picked up, and that'll put the nail in the coffin. End to end, Wanye Thomas.
What a banana town finish it was. In Maryland, RFK Stadium today, FedEx Field, excuse me, rather, as the Washington Commanders almost completed yet another miraculous comeback, an 86-yard touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels, who's got that late-game something, to Terry McLaurin. Ah, how about that? How come we can't get players like that? Almost ties the game for the Commanders in the waning seconds of the game, but then they miss the extra point, attempt an onside kick, Dallas returns it. And Dallas wins. There were a lot of surprises today in the Week 13 slate, Andy, including the Tennessee Titans putting up a 33-burger, a Larry Bird, on the Texans in Houston, no less. 33-27, the final down there. Houston Texans are not looking like the team that was going to take a step from last year when they won in the wild card round, then went toe-to-toe for a half against the Ravens. They made all those offseason additions, but, of course, they lose Steph Diggs. big, big. That was a big surprise down there as well. And then, of course, as you heard, I think it was Joe Davis mention in the call from the Cowboys Commanders game, a terrible special teams game today. And that wasn't just talking about what happened in the Miami versus New England game as well. How about the fact that the Bears lose again and they had I think it was my buddy, the Bears fan, said there was a block. Was it a, let's see, two huge special teams plays ultimately did us in, another blocked field goal. My God, back to back weeks with a block. Fire your special teams coach. And a bonehead play and a punt return that gifted the Vikings the ball in the 15. Just a brutal, like, so. First it was people were making 60-yard field goals left and right in the NFL. Now people are getting field goals blocked and missing clutch kicks and extra points. What happened to special teams in the NFL? How do we make the fundamentals of football great again, Hart?
You can go back to Tom Brady, right? Coaching, focus, practice time, investment, making sure it's a key part of your program, as you'd say, I guess, mm-hmm. that you're building. No, there was some weird scores today. Weird things, although the Raiders are going to lose. Son of a bitch. I was hoping they'd upset the Broncos.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. Looks like the best game of the week is going to end up being the Thursday night game in the snow. The snow game. Browns-Steelers. That was a fun one.
I'm not giving up on tonight. I'm looking forward to watching tonight, Eagles-Rams. I think there's a chance that could be a pretty good game. The Rams are a better team than they were a month ago and mm-hmm. healthier, obviously. And you just never know what you're going to get with the Eagles. The talent is there, but it's like,
they have won six in a row, Andy.
They have, but there's almost been a little bit of a, not really buying it yet. Seems like the scores are weird. You tune into a game or Jalen Hurts is kind of moping on the sideline, sitting with that blank stare on the bench. I'm still not totally sold on them. And I think Matthew Stafford is like, I got my guys back. This is kind of fun again. Like, I think he's building some emotional momentum with that
team. They're fun to watch for sure.
Yeah.
Lions get the job done against the Colts, who are very sad sack and pretty inept on offense today, 24-6. Buccaneers absolutely run roughshod all over Tommy DeVito and the Giants. Their fans were leaving en masse with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. What a debacle. Let me ask you this. Which organization is in the worst shape of the three? Your New England Patriots, the New York, they might be football Giants, or broken down old man Aaron Rodgers and the J-E-S-T, jest.
I think the Giants.
They're a wreck.
Now, they all have issues, and certainly the Patriots having their young quarterback gives them an advantage. Mm-hmm. The Jets, I still think, have a ton of talent. They just don't have the quarterback. If they can somehow find a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And the Giants are kind of a mess. They're probably going to fire their coach. You see Dable. I saw Dable today with the hood on, glasses on, beard. And the first thing I thought of is he sort of pulled off. He kind of looked like Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus blended into one, which is, I'm not sure that's the look he was going for.
I don't think I've ever heard someone referred to as much.
Yeah, but I'd still take him. He can come here and wear whatever hood and glasses and whatever look he wants to work with Drake May in this offense. Happy to have him.
You'd
bring
take
Malik
him as
Neighbors
OC
with him, too. Because Malik Neighbors is not a happy camper.
No, he is not. He's sick and tired of losing. Had never even heard of his starting quarterback before he came in. Like, just brutal situation down there in New York. I would say the Patriots probably have it the best of the three. Not to say that they have great shakes down in Foxborough right now, but they at least seem to have found the quarterback. Jets, yeah. When you say, like, you know, as long if they could just find a quarterback, obviously that's not easy to do because they haven't been able to do that for the longest time. This is now going to be 12 years since they've made the playoffs.
Can we ask, though, about the Aaron Rodgers situation? If he says he wants to play next year, like, who will take him?
Like, what team needs him? He is so broken down right now. Like, if you read, whose report was that? Was that Rossini or was that?
They won't do scans.
Yeah, he won't take body.
Hurt he is. Yeah.
Like a hamstring and an air. Like his general everything right now is absolutely just wrecked.
Yeah, but he won't do scans, so they don't know exactly what is wrecked.
And so he wants to play next year, but it's not going to be in New York. I don't know who would possibly want him. There's a chance he's going to get benched or cut in the next few weeks. Who the hell the Jets are going to play behind him, I have no idea. What a mess. Like, I mean, I don't know. They're challenging for the biggest mess in New York, buddy.
Woody Johnson wanted to bench him a while ago, reportedly, and they talked him out of it. And now he's obviously made moves since and gotten rid of Joe Douglas and the GM and Saleh and the whole situation there. But I just look back at them and I say, and we, I don't think we've talked about it on this program last week or this week, but Rex Ryan is openly putting his name in there, lobbying for the job, would love to go back, thinks he's the right guy. Could, and they have talent. There's a lot of young talent. That's what I look at. It's like Joe Douglas loses his job. He's done a pretty good job drafting. He's drafted on both sides of the ball, Pro Bowl caliber players over the last couple of years. It's just the Aaron Rodgers situation, the quarterback situation, kowtowing to him, I guess, bringing his guys in, Lazard, and those things. Like, but I don't know. Would you take Joe Douglas on as a draft consultant based on the way he's drafted in recent years?
I don't know. He kind of nailed a bunch. I mean, they have plenty of talent on the roster as well.
Yep.
It was the head coach and the quarterback that got him and just about everybody else fired. His record was pretty terrible.
And they're even firing the owner. Do you see there's a lot of those like sports books are putting out odds, the next owner of the Jets. And I was like, I didn't know he was going to be sold.
Is he just going to sell? Is he gonna, well, maybe he gets back into the government this year with Donald Trump taking over again in January.
Maybe.
Doesn't want his brother to run the team. Maybe he divests himself of the team. Bezos could be interested. He only has $250 billion, you know. Finally owning a sports team at some point seems like it's going to happen. He's already got the biggest website on earth and a newspaper, so may as well add a sports team to the portfolio.
Yeah, and I think Musk was included in the theorizing. Elon Musk might be an op.
Of the Jets?
That's what I say, yeah.
That would just be perfect. Just perfect.
You would love to hate him.
Elon Musk buys Jets. That doesn't even the Onion rejected that headline. Hey, I wanted to ask you, maybe you guys legislated this during the afternoon show. It's Patriots related, obviously. Oh, well, yes, Joe, that's right. We got to do the Cars for Kids.
Don't forget, Joe is getting very anxious.
I know. These are the sponsored bits. These are the things that help pay the bills. So before we get to my little self-indulgent Patriots-related Hall of Fame-oriented question, let us make sure that we do the tentpole bits of the show. Time now for the Cars for Kids Player of the Game. It is brought to you by our friends at Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's Cars with a K. Andy?
I guess Antonio Gibson? Oh my God. Do we have anybody else?
Every single Patriots fan who had to suffer and watch that.
You know what? Us. Yeah. We are the Cars for Kids players of the game.
We people. All people.
We were able to. We stuck it out through that game and pulled a 3-hour radio show out of it on top of it. We are the Cars for Kids players of the game. Thank you very much. So there you go, Cars for Kids. Thanks so much. Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car and your offensive line today.
I was going to say, do they pick up offensive lines? Maybe whole teams give us a tax break
on.
Have
you ever been
that?
Outside Target where you could? I know you can donate like shoes and textiles to be recycled.
Football teams, entire teams, coaching staffs.
Real quick one right here. I don't want to talk about next week's game. So there were the nominations. I'm not sure if you guys talked about it on your show or if you plan on it. John Lyons and I talked about it at length yesterday. Andy, we know Robert Kraft was passed over once again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It'll be at least one more year before he attempts to get in as a special contributor to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But between the three Patriots on the list, Vinatieri, first-time nominee, fourth time for Rodney Harrison, fourth time as a nominee for Vince Wilfork, which one would get your vote and why?
Adam Vinatieri, and it's not even close.
Not even close.
Greatest, clutchest kicker in the history of the game. He jump-started the dynasty. He keyed the dynasty through the first era. And then people forget he went on and dominated for the Colts for a long time, became a dome kicker right at home in a dome to the point where he's actually been a Colt longer than a Patriot. Just a truly all-time great. And as I mentioned to Arcand, if you're putting together clips of sort of the history of football and you like had to pare it down and somebody's like, I need you to just pare this down to like 10 clips. Adam Vinatieri is going to be in it. Like the snow kick or the Super Bowl 36 kick. One of those kicks is one of the all time great highlights. And I don't see how he doesn't get in. He has to be. For me, you can debate Rodney Harrison. You can debate Vince Wilfork. I think they're both potentially. I think Rodney, I'm with Bill. I think Rodney's above Wilfork, but I think they both could be Hall of Famers. But I think Vinatieri has to be a Hall of Famer. If Vinatieri isn't in this class, it's an embarrassment to this class.
There's four kickers in the Hall of Fame and one punter. There need to be five kickers. There need to be more specialists, more special teamers, more contributors at large to the game. We can't continue to just show this sort of like quarterback, receiver, pass rusher, head coach bias. These guys are massive difference makers, and there is no dynasty without Walt Coleman, obviously, and without the snow, but most especially without him kicking cylinder blocks, veritable bricks and stones through the snow and then the cold back in January of 2004 against the Titans. And then the two kicks in the Super Bowls, and honestly, my single favorite play in the history of all sports, his kick in Super Bowl 36 to win it, would have been good from 68. The second it left his foot, he and, oh, the snapper, why is it invading?
The snapper? Lonnie Paxton?
No, excuse me, the holder.
Ken Walters, the
Ken
holder.
Ken Walter, the punter, Jesus. Yes, Ken Walter.
Oh, you're a Patriots fan, you're an
embarrassed. I am, it's been a long show, it's been a long time.
Wow.
That moment alone right there. All right. Anyway, folks, that'll wrap it up from us for the Six Rings post-game show. He is at Jumbo Heart. Andy Hart can be heard Monday through Friday. Well, it's a holiday week this week, so maybe not Monday through Friday. However, Mondays through Fridays, 2 to 6, you can listen to him and Chris Harkin on the WEEI afternoon show. I'll be on a couple of evenings and then be a little fill-in action on Black Friday with Mego. Give me a follow at FitzyGFY. If you like the show, congratulate Joe. And if you didn't think that Six Rings lived up to its billing, then you can blame Braverman. Take care, everybody. We're going to throw it to commercial break. When we come back, a replay of the coach and the quarterback's postgame pressers, and then enjoy Sunday Night Football. That's it for Six Rings. Once again, the final from the Florida House of Horrors, Miami Dolphins 34, Patriots 15. Take care, everyone.
See you.